Everyone on Mars had to work for a living, and though Robert Singh had made a substantial credit transfer from his healthy account on Earth, he was no exception to the rule, nor did he wish to be. He still had decades of active life ahead of him, and wished to use it to the full, as long as he could spend as much time as possible with his new family. That was another reason for coming to Mars. It was still an empty world, and he would be allowed two children here. His first daughter, Mirelle, was born within a year of landing. Martin came 3 years later. It was another 5 years before Captain Robert Singh felt the slightest desire to breathe space, or at least deep space. He was too content with his family and his work. Of course, he made frequent trips up to Phobos and Deimos, usually in connection with his highly responsible and well-rewarded duties as a ship surveyor for Lloyd's of Earth. There wasn't much to do on Phobos, the inner and larger satellite, except to inspect the Space Apprentices Training School, where he was regarded with considerable awe by the cadets. For his part, he enjoyed meeting them. It made him feel 20 years younger, and also kept him in touch with the latest developments in space technology. At one time, Phobos had been regarded as an invaluable source of raw materials for space construction projects, but Martian conservationists, perhaps feeling guilty about the steady terraforming of their own planet, had managed to prevent this. Though the tiny coal-black satellite was so inconspicuous in the night sky that few people ever noticed it, "Don't strip mine Phobos" had been an effective slogan. Fortunately, the smaller and more distant Deimos was in some ways an even better alternative. Although it averaged little more than a dozen kilometers across, it could supply the local dockyards with most of the metals they needed for centuries, and no one really cared if the tiny moon slowly disappeared over the next 1,000 years. Moreover, its gravitational field was so feeble that only a good push was needed to launch its products on their way. Like all busy harbors since the beginning of time, Port Deimos was an untidy mess. The first time Robert Singh ever set eyes on Goliath was in Deimos Yard 3, when it was undergoing a 5-yearly inspection and refit. At first sight, there was nothing unusual about the ship. It was no uglier than most deep spacecraft. With an empty mass of 10,000 tons and an overall length of 150 meters, it was not particularly large, and its most important characteristic was invisible. Goliath's hot fusion rocket engines, normally using hydrogen as working fluid but able to operate with water if necessary, were far more powerful than needed for a vessel of its size. Except for tests lasting only a few seconds, they had never been run at full thrust. The next time Robert Singh saw Goliath, she was once again at Deimos after another uneventful 5 years on station, and her captain was about to retire. "Think about it, Bob," he said. "Easiest job in the solar system. No navigation to worry about. You just sit there and admire the view. Only problem, the care and feeding of about 20 mad scientists." It was tempting. Though he had filled many responsible posts, Robert Singh had never commanded a ship. And it was about time that he did so before he retired. True, he had only just passed his 60th birthday, but it was amazing how quickly the decades now seemed to be slipping by. "I'll talk it over with the family," he said, "as long as I can shuttle back to Mars a couple of times a year." Yes, it was an attractive proposal. He would consider it carefully. Robert Singh never gave more than a few moments' thought to the purpose behind Goliath's original construction. Indeed, he had almost forgotten why the ship was fitted with such a ridiculously powerful drive. Of course, he would never have to use more than a small fraction of it. But it was nice to have it in reserve.